Well, we've completed another church year as of today. As I said before, it seems to have zipped by even faster than usual. Not entirely sure how that works, but it's just one more opportunity where if there's a good thing about your parents not being around, it's another opportunity for them to not say, "I told you so," because this is exactly what they told me when I was younger. As you get older, things go faster. I thought, well, how can that be? That's crazy. Well, here you go. Seems like, well, it doesn't seem very long at all that we're beginning this year. And so we complete this year, as we always do, with the Reign of Christ Sunday, sometimes called Christ the King Sunday. And it's an opportunity for us to reflect on what it means, or at least to think a bit about Christ the King. And it's a struggle for us every year, or at least it can be, because if we're paying attention, we don't really see the kingship of Christ, at least not in the way we want to. There's something about us that we have this almost an innate, I think, understanding, or at least it was learned so long ago that we can't really put our finger on it. We know what it would be like if a king was here. And a king would do things that we think they should do in ways that were just unmistakable. And in this, we're no different than anyone. And we run into exactly the same problem that the Jews did with Jesus when he came and proclaimed his own kingship. And they looked at it and said, "Well, what are you talking about? There's no kingship here. I don't see any king. I don't see any immediate relief from Roman oppression, which was a daily reality for everyone." And we do the same. Now, we don't have Roman oppression. We're not looking at it that way. And I think for most of us, we're not particularly looking for Jesus to come as king in a political sense. We're not looking for him to come and sort of take over that way, at least not at this point. We've got a different view of Christ's kingship that is more involved in the spiritual world, more involved in individuals as individuals, and we still don't see Christ's kingship the way we want to. And that's okay, because when we don't see it the way we want to, we need to pay attention to a couple of things going on. That for the most part, what we're looking for are really good things. I'm sure all of us have got a crazy idea here and there about what the kingship of Christ might look like, but on the whole, I think all of us would agree on what the main things would be. A world in which people treat each other with care and compassion, where justice is the norm rather than injustice, where mercy and grace are extended to all who need it. All of those things that the Old Testament prophets talk about, where lions lie down with lambs and things of that poetic language, to be sure, but we understand what's being got at. And we look around and we say, well, I don't really see that. And when we don't see it, it's not that we're closing our eyes particularly. We're seeing what is. What we're not seeing is we're not seeing that Christ's kingship is completely different than any kind of political kingship ever. That the reign of Christ is as real now as it was the moment it was proclaimed, the moment it happened when Jesus came to earth. But it's just as hidden if we're not looking for it in the right way. We're under the impression, and it's an impression that comes from experience, that we know what we're looking for and we know what we see, because we're right most of the time. We can tell the difference between justice and injustice. We can tell that the world we're living in has significant problems of poverty and crime and injustice and all of the litany of things that are wrong. And if that's what we look to see, we'll see it. We have a whole culture that makes it easier for us to see that. We have a whole industry. We call it news, that's designed solely to let us know exactly how awful everything is. The more you watch the news and read the news and follow the news, wherever you get it, the easier it is to think that there is no good thing. But the lordship of Christ, the kingship of Christ, will one day be a more political kind of thing. And we talked about that last week, that at some point it'll all be clear to everyone. But the good news is that we can see it now. We can. It doesn't look exactly like we want it to, but that's okay. Because often at various stages of our life, we think we know what we want, and we look back on it, and we think, that's the craziest thing ever. Why would I have ever wanted a motorcycle that went that fast? Like, that's just crazy. There was a time when I wanted a motorcycle. Well, I had a motorcycle. I wanted a better motorcycle. Now, I have great sympathy with my former physician's description of motorcycle riders, and he had a motorcycle himself when he still lived in Ireland, and he said there are two kinds of motorcycle riders. There are those who have broken their legs and those who haven't broken their legs yet. Yeah, when I was younger, I couldn't imagine anything. And I look back at that, and on my bad days, I look back at myself and think of myself as being kind of dumb. On my better days, I look back and say, well, that was then. You know, if I go back further, the things that would have made my life perfect involved things like G.I. Joes. Yeah, the things that would have made my life perfect is if that girl would have noticed I existed. And I look at those from this perspective and I think, oh, come on, is that the best you could do? Well, it was the best I could do back then. But I take that and I apply it to the larger thing, larger structures of life, and I think maybe on those days when I... Despair is certainly too strong a word, but on those days when I look around and I say, is God real? Is the lordship of Christ an actual reality? I look around and I can't see it anywhere. And I don't see it the way I want it to, so it must not be there. Maybe it's just possible that a few years down the road, or maybe even a few days down the road, I will have changed to see things a little better. Because that's what happens. We change. Christ is the Lord every bit as much now as he was 100 years ago, and he will be 100 years hence, and whatever time frame you want to put in there. But if I change, so I can see it better, it doesn't make it more real. It just means that I'm a little more aware of what's actually going on. In the same way that if you talk to a child, and I'm always cautious or at least a little concerned about using sort of the analogies of child and non-child, because I don't want us to get the feeling that we are sort of helpless in the way that a child is, or that we are limited in the way that a child is. What I want us to remember is that we're limited for a time. We're helpless for a time, and we will grow beyond that. We'll understand more. And when you think of, well, your own children or perhaps children you've observed or whatever else it might be, and if you were to go and ask your child, this child, immediately after they were thwarted by a parent, whether that parent was you or not, what they thought of their parents, I'm guessing that the answer you get, especially when they're young and are before they built in that filter that makes them be a little more careful what they say, you ask them, do you love your parents? They'll say, no, I hate them. It's hard to raise children without having your children at least at one point tell you that they hate you. The nice thing is that for most of us, when we look at it, it's they hated us because we made them eat broccoli, because we made them go to bed, we made them take a bath, we made them get up. There are these things that are very temporary, that are very ephemeral, that are very trivial, even to them later on. Trivial to the point where when you remind them, sometimes even just a few hours later, that they hated you before, they'll just look at you like you're crazy. And go, what are you talking? No, I never said that. Well, they said it, but they never really meant it, whatever it might be. They've grown out of it. And you end up with situations like now where my older kids are, you know, they're out of high school and they're moving on to other things, and it crosses their mind every once in a while to talk about how they're so glad they have the parents they have instead of some of their friends' parents. I say, you know, I really can't think of anything you did wrong. I can think of many that I did wrong, and I can think of lots of times they, when they were younger, told me they did some, that I'd done something wrong. But they'd grown past that. They were seeing things in a different way. There will be a time, and I think for most of us it'll be a time when we leave this world, whether we die or God comes back, however that works, and whatever it looks like, when we'll understand things a whole lot more. And we'll see the full extent of the Lordship of Christ in a way that we don't now. But that doesn't mean that we can't see it if we open our eyes. And I think of what Matthew records in his gospel. And there's all kinds of things we can talk about in the story of the sheep and the goats. But what I'm more interested in is the fact that the righteous people didn't see what they were doing when they ministered to Christ himself. And these are righteous people. These are not people who did something by accident and it turned out to be a good thing. These are not the kind of people who by mistake did what they were supposed to. These were righteous people who were doing what God had called them to do. And in this parable, if you will, or however you want to describe this story, Jesus says, you were ministering to me when you did this to the least of those around you. And you can just see them sort of going, what? That doesn't make any sense. Well, it doesn't make any sense to us, perhaps, but it makes perfect sense to God. And it reminds us again of how limited we are when we try to understand God at work in the world and all that's happening. In some mysterious way, when we minister to others, whether it's the least or not the least of those around us, we are ministering to God. We are rendering service to Jesus himself. And if we can't see that, why on earth do we think that we'd be able to see everything that gives demonstration to Christ's Lordship now? Every time we see goodness, we see the kingship of Jesus on earth. Every time we see grace, every time we see undeserved kindness of any sort, every time we see those moments of transcendent beauty, we are seeing the kingship of Jesus. It doesn't look like we want it to look. It doesn't involve as much punishment of evildoers as we certainly think it should. That kind of judgment seems to be being held for another day, another time. But in the same way that those who ministered to the least of those around them and rendered ministry to Christ himself without knowing it, when we have those moments where our heart is lifted at the delight that a child takes in a puppy, when we read again about people who at great cost to themselves are making a difference in the world, we're seeing the kingship of Christ. We're seeing people ministering to him, and we're seeing his goodness, the reality of his rule being spread over the world. Why we miss it, I think, is because in this, as in so many other things, we have an all-or-nothing view of the world. And we think that if a loving God is also all-powerful, that all-power will be shown at all times. And we don't understand how these work together. And that's okay, that we don't understand them. Anyone who tells you that they understand how a loving God and all-powerful justice work together is, well, I don't think they're right. We don't seem to get it. It doesn't make sense to us that we can still have Christ as Lord of everything and still need to give money to Presbyterian World Sharing Development to care for people whose lives were destroyed with a hurricane, a typhoon, or an earthquake, or whatever else it might be. But the fact that we don't understand it doesn't mean that it's not there. When we're little, we don't understand why we have to go to bed. We honestly don't. Why would we have to go to bed now? We're having fun. When we're little, we don't understand why we have to eat things we haven't learned to like yet. Why should we eat this? Well, it's because we just don't know enough. We don't know that without enough sleep, we'll get sick. We'll be crabby the next day. We won't enjoy the day as much as we would otherwise. We don't know yet that if we don't eat properly, we won't grow properly. We won't have the energy to do all those things that we enjoy doing. Well, we're not so much concerned about the broccoli that we eat now. But how many things are similar? How many things do we look at and we say, well, that can't be, you know, God can't be at work here. And we don't have any idea. I've talked often about how there are so many things in our lives that we would never have chosen that we wouldn't give up now. All of us have these things, these catastrophic experiences in our past that have made us who we are today, and we look back at them and we say, this kind of growth in me started there, and I wouldn't give up the growth, but I really wish I could have had it some other way. If we think that, why are we so convinced sometimes that God can't be at work in catastrophic circumstances? Well, it's because we're human. It's because we're limited. It's because even if we live for a long, 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 long time, we've had maybe 100 years to see God at work. That's just not enough time. We need to hold on to our ideas of what makes a king a little more lightly. We need to work a little bit harder at looking to see the evidences of Christ's kingship that are all around us and rejoicing when we see them. Taking encouragement from every time we see someone doing something that isn't just in their own best interests, but makes the world a better place. Because that's a sign of the rule of Christ. It may not look exactly like what we want it to, but we don't know enough to know exactly what it should be like. We're not wise enough. We don't have enough experience. We're not divine enough to know what needs to be done. But it's there for us to see it. And in the same way that at the end of all things, we want Jesus to say, you were one of those ones who did what needed to be done, whether you knew it was to me or not. At the same time, we want to be able to look out and see the reality of the reign of Christ happening now. Even if it's not exactly in the ways we want, it's still there. Every time we see goodness, we see the reign of Christ. Every time we see the world working in ways that bring life, that bring hope, that's the reign of Christ. It's not a political reign. It's not all about soldiers and making people do what they're supposed to do. It's about rebuilding us into the people we were created to be from the inside out. And we can see that. We can see it in ourselves and we can see it in the people around us. And every time we do, we can celebrate the reign of Christ. We end this year on the note of the inescapable reality that God is in control, that Jesus is King. Because we need to be reminded, it's so easy for us to not see it. But it's there for us. And that's why we celebrate this day. The reign of Christ, indeed. Amen.